The Tom Woods Show, episode 478.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. You know what I love? Getting paid for things I'm going to do anyway. So I just joined Ebates because I get cash back for purchases I'm going to make anyway. Sign up through TomWoods.com/Ebates and get a free $10 gift card. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. I recently appeared on a new podcast called the Ron Paul Homeschooling Podcast, and they wanted to know all about the courses that I produced, and they did a whole episode just on my course on government. And I think this discussion that I had with them is of general interest. It's not just for people who are interested in homeschooling or whatever, but the more general question of how you would teach government to people and make sure that the libertarian angle is given a fair shake is an interesting topic of general interest. So that's why I'm actually sharing this conversation with you today. It'll talk a little bit about my own educational experiences or how I would have benefited if I had had access to all this great information when I was a younger person. There are a lot of issues that come up for all of us, whether we homeschool or not, whether we have children or not. These are questions that we ask ourselves quite a bit, and I thought you might be interested in some of my answers. So you can find out more about this particular podcast, first of all, on today's show notes page, of course, which is always the clearinghouse of information for every episode we do. TomWoods.com/478 is the show notes page for today. The website of the podcast from which today's episode is drawn is ronpaulhomeschooling.com, not to be confused with my site, ronpaulhomeschool.com, which is where, of course, I give you $140 worth of free bonuses if you decide to join the Ron Paul curriculum, so please bear that in mind. All right, what I have done is I've deleted just the portion of the episode in which Richard Emmons, who is the interviewer, gives a lengthy introduction of me and gives my credentials and all the things I've done and so on and so forth. I figure if you're a regular listener of this show, you probably know a little something about that. If you don't, you can always visit TomWoods.com/about. So I've spared you a very kind, but nevertheless, probably for you guys, unnecessary list of things I've done, and we jump right into the conversation. So I hope you enjoy it.
Fellow homeschoolers, are you getting burned out? Are your students getting frustrated? Breathe a sigh of relief, because there is a better way. Welcome to the Ron Paul Homeschooling Podcast, the only show where you can learn to liberate your homeschooling experience with the freedom philosophy of the Ron Paul curriculum. Please welcome your host, homeschooling dad, Richard Emmons.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Thomas Woods about his Government 1B course of the Ron Paul curriculum. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Richard. A pleasure to be here.
Well, we always start the show out with a freedom quote. So what do you have for our listeners today?
Well, I think it's maybe not directly a freedom quotation, but it is applicable, certainly. It's the one attributed to Augustine, having to do with truth being, you know, something that's true is true regardless of whether anybody believes it and so on and so forth. And sometimes you feel that way when you're talking about the material that we discuss, that you feel like you're standing against the entire world half the time, but yet you know you're right, and you can't be intimidated into abandoning what you believe simply because it's unpopular.
That's really good, and we've certainly had an example of Dr. Ron Paul for over 30 years, you know, standing for what he believes in and not backing off from that.
Absolutely.
Well, now we're going to talk about Government 1B, and this course follows Government 1A, and it's directed at ninth graders. So right now, I'd like to give us just the big picture overview of the course, what it covers, and what students will get out of it.
Although it is a ninth grade course, it would not in any way insult the intelligence of an adult who was listening along with the student. I absolutely guarantee you. It is 90 lessons in which I have done my very best to encapsulate, if not everything I know, then let's say an awful lot of it. Material that if I had known when I was younger, I could have saved myself years and years of hard work and agony. I've done all the reading. I've done all the studying. I've done all the distillation. Now, here is what you need to know. And in this course, we begin with the basics. We talk about what rights are and what precisely your rights would be. We help to make sure we understand that concept, because when you're talking about government, you have to talk about rights. I talk about liberalism in the classical tradition, which basically means libertarianism, the idea of limited government and so on and so forth. And we talk about some of the most well-known critics of this way of thinking. And we look at their arguments and we address their arguments. But I spend a lot of the course looking at problems with what government does in one area after another. So the typical government course looks at all these different areas in which government has asserted for itself some role, and then goes on to justify why, of course, we need government doing this and why it's all worked out really well, and why maybe we need government involved in other areas. This course takes the opposite approach. It does explain why government has been involved in various things. It does give the official rationale, so the student will get that. But unlike a typical government course, it gives the other side of the story as well. It shows what the problems have been. So I talk about everything from labor unions to healthcare to farm programs to antitrust policy to the environment and so on and so forth. I look at rationales that have been put forth for why we need government intervention. Well, we need the government to solve inequality. We need it to give foreign aid to poor people. We need it to fight against discrimination. All these sorts of arguments are systematically addressed. Then I go through and look at different systems of government that have been tried: a monarchy, fascism, communism, social democracy, republicanism, and we look at some of the strengths and weaknesses of these. We look at some lessons from history. We look at the most recent, the housing bubble and bust. We look at the Industrial Revolution. We look at the New Deal and see what we can learn from those. We look at some unresolved problems involved in government. For example, do we have informed voters? What are the incentives that democracy yields us, and what results do we see? And at the end, I'm reviewing the whole thing, and I'm even introducing to them the ideas of Murray Rothbard, who says maybe we don't need this institution at all. Private enterprise can take care of everything. So it's a course that will basically make your head explode in a good way. And I have gotten tremendous feedback from students. Now, they have to seek out my email address. It's not obvious how to contact me. And they have sought me out to say, I cannot believe how much I've learned because of this course. That's exactly what I want. There's no fluff in this thing at all. It is just meet every single lesson.
Well, Tom, that sounds really great. And I know from my personal experience of going through all the government schools all those years that it took me decades to unlearn what I had learned back in high school. And it took many years for me to discover people like Murray Rothbard and Mises and others, that I could start to learn how things really are and to learn all of the kind of the dark underbelly, the soft underbelly of the state, and how it does actually take away our rights and take away our freedoms, and how we suffer for that.
And that's exactly, yeah. I mean, what I'm trying to do here is make sure that your children don't have to have the same experience you had, where they have to wait until, you know, wait 20 years and dig everything up laboriously for themselves. Why should they have to endure that? Why shouldn't they be exposed to these things the first time the way the rest of us were? And that's the beauty of this, that in just one semester, all of a sudden, all these doors of intellectual curiosity have been opened to you.
That is so great. And it's so powerful for the students, because they want to learn. They want to learn what's right, and they want to spend their time wisely, not just get class credit, but they want to learn stuff that can actually help them. And this course does that in the area of government in a big way. Now, you've written lots of books. I've got a couple of them on my desk right here, right in front of me. Real Dissent is one of them. And you've read lots of books. What are some of the reading assignments for your course?
It's a wide variety of readings that people will be exposed to. For example, they're going to read some work by Thomas Sowell, who I think is one of the great economists today, even though he's not fully in the Austrian camp. When he writes popular economics for the general public, it's very, very effective. So we'll read him. Certainly, you will read Rothbard when we're talking about government spending. We're talking about taxation. You'll read him. You'll be exposed to primary sources of some of the key political thinkers. So I do talk about some of the foundational thinkers in the liberal tradition, so John Locke and others, who will be also covered in my Western Civilization courses, which we'll talk about at another time. But really what I'm trying to do is pick out people I consider to be the top-notch thinkers in each area. I say, who is the person who is the best, who's done the most outstanding work in this particular area? And I have them read that person. And, you know, once in a while they read my own stuff when I, you know, I sometimes I'm the only one who's written on something. I'll assign my own work. But they're going to walk away with a familiarity with the major living thinkers who have been making contributions, but they'll also have read works of people who came long before us. So definitely there's going to be plenty of Rothbard. There'll be some Hans Hermann Hoppe. There'll be some Robert Lefebvre, who was a forgotten figure in this tradition, but was a very significant writer in his own right. And there's also going to be some work. Let's see. I'm just looking at it right now. Yeah, I mean, another living guy who is important to know about is Brian Kaplan. I don't agree with him on everything, but I think he's right about voter irrationality. And John Hasnas, a professor at Georgetown, who says that one of the reasons we have the state is supposedly so we can have the rule of law. And he says they do a terrible job. That we don't have the rule of law really at all, because he says in case after case after case, really, it's up to the judge's discretion. There are so many precedents going one way and going the other that the judge can more or less pick the way he wants the case to come out. So we really don't have the very things that the state insists that at the very least it definitely is providing us. So it's really the readings are just like the topics themselves in that they are eye-opening, shocking, extremely challenging to you intellectually, not in the sense of being difficult, but in the sense of challenging what you've believed for a long time.
Yes, because if you looked at anything with the mainstream media, I mean, that's what they report. You know, they really are a mouthpiece for these problems. And if there is a problem, it's because it's the government's underfunded, which is such a tiresome argument.
Right.
It's not even really an argument. Now, do each of your students in this course, they have weekly writing assignments? Is that true?
That's the way all the humanities and social science courses are arranged in the Ron Paul curriculum, that the fifth day of the week, so assuming you're going Monday through Friday, on Friday you don't have a reading assignment, you instead have a writing assignment. And this means that given that this is an 18-week course, you're going to do 18 writing assignments in one semester. Now, they're not, you know, 20 pages or anything, but it gets you practicing your writing. And you have to write concisely, because I'll sometimes say, I want this to be written in 250 words. And writing concisely is one thing most people have real difficulty doing. People find it very easy to be very flowery and wordy, but what you need to be a good writer is to be concise. And they learn to be concise, and they learn through sheer repetition to become better writers. The way we do it is every single day, except Monday, there's nothing to review, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we do a brief 3 to 5 minute review of the previous lesson. The review aids tremendously in retention. Review is a much neglected pedagogical device. And then the fifth day of the week is a review of the entire week. So you've got review, 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 and then big review so that the information stays with you. But yes, it's a reading assignment every day for the first 4 days, and then a writing assignment where you bring together the ideas that you've been learning, you synthesize them, you interact with them, you engage with them, and you produce something based on them.
Well, that sounds really good. And when you produce that, it really helps to get it into your head about what it means, because you've expressed it in your own words. I think you could also have some lively conversations around the dinner table, because there's always things to talk about that have to do with government and misgovernment.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, one way in which my courses differ from, at least so far, other people's courses at the Ron Paul curriculum is that I don't have just videos. My videos, you've got the PowerPoint presentation, you got my head in the corner talking, but I also have audio files for each one of the 90 lessons and all the 400 or so lessons I've done in total for the whole curriculum. I've got audio files so that the lesson can be listened to in the car. And what I had in mind here is primarily the parents. So on the parents' commute, the parent can be listening to what is my child learning about today. I'm betting that the parents are going to say, hey, I find this interesting too. This is not just a chore to check up on my student, but I'm finding it interesting. I'm learning things. I'm filling in gaps in my own knowledge. And then indeed, when I get home, I'm you know, darn tootin' going to talk about this with my kids. And plus, it's an easy way to check up to see have they been doing it.
Absolutely. And you're learning right along with them. I really believe that we should be lifelong learners, that just because we're out of school, we should keep on learning. And in fact, over 30 years ago, I'd graduated from college, and a best-selling author, conservative Gary Allen, lived down my street. And I was the senior patrol leader in Boy Scouts for his sons, and I tutored his daughter in algebra. He said, "Richard, now that your schooling is over, your education can begin." And I said, I was like, "What do you mean about that? I just finished 16 years of school." And he started handing me books and newsletters and audio tapes by people like Ron Paul and Gary North and others. And I had to get re-educated through that process. So it's never too late for the parents to start to re-educate themselves in the area of government and many other areas. But government, that's the one that you see it every time you get a paycheck, they take their cut. So I think we all ought to learn more about government, what works and what doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. There's so much more. I could go off on a tangent on that, but I don't want to. I want you to drive this or otherwise we'll never get there.
Well, it sounds like a really good course that students will learn a lot from. It touches with things that are happening today because the topics that you listed out before and I see on the course outline are all things that affect them today, like things like Obamacare. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Should the state do it or not? Does the track record lead you to think that it's going to work? And as we've seen, it really doesn't work very well. There are lots of good intentions, but they don't pan out.
Well, let me point out, by the way, that just so people can get the full idea of what the course is, you can see not, I don't have, I will eventually have some good free samples up, but you can at least look at what the titles of the lessons are at tomwoods.com/government. That's where I just put up a teaser page just showing you what is going to be covered in that course. Not yet do I don't yet have samples, but that will be coming. Maybe by the time this goes up, I will have samples if I'm super, super efficient and full of ambition. But for the time being, at least it gives you an idea of the diversity of topics because it's a tremendous diversity of topics.
We always put on the show notes page a link to the Ron Paul Curriculum website that gives the course overview,
and on
this,
okay.
So that gets them to Ron Paul Curriculum, and that includes your first lesson. And I got up early this morning and started watching that.
Oh, I do have gosh, it's been so long since I did this course, I forgot that I did put a free sample up. Okay.
Yep, it's great. And I'm telling you, people can watch that and they can learn. You don't need to be a member of the Ron Paul Curriculum program to watch the first lesson, and you really get a flavor for what it's all about and what it's going to cover. And how you explain things. And that's why you have so many people listen to your podcast, because you do explain things very well. And you are able to see both sides of arguments and try to draw it out of your guests sometimes. And sometimes you have to correct them. And other times you just let them talk. So I really enjoy your show. Little plug for tomwoods.com. If they like Ron Paul, they should listen to your podcast.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Now, I'd like to ask you some general questions about education and your course. But really, let the parents and the students get to know you just a little bit better. And I want to ask you a question about if there's one thing right now that's really exciting you in your own personal education, what that might be.
Well, I'm always reading something. I'm always studying something. But these days, I'm studying a different kind of thing. I've become very interested in marketing and entrepreneurship. It's not my usual thing. My usual thing is I read economics, or I'm reading some episode in history, and no doubt I'll go back to that at some point. But I'm self-employed, and I've made quite a go of it, as a matter of fact, between all different ventures that I have going at once. But when you're self-employed, you're competing against billions of people, so you have to figure out how to be good at it. You have to figure out how to stand out, how to produce products that people want, and this is not an easy thing. It's not something that you're necessarily born with, or it has to be cultivated, let's say. And I find it fascinating to learn all different ways that you can use the internet to promote what you're doing at minimal cost, in ways that would have been impossible before the internet. There's no way I could have generated the size of the audience that I have now. Because although I've been on television, not recently, I don't live near any major media outlets, so that's a major obstacle. But what I have been able to do is start a YouTube channel, and people can see my public speaking, and they read my books, and I have a blog, and I have the podcast, and all these different things get out there, people find out about them, and I get new followers. So for instance, I'm one of the things I do to add people to my email list so that I can keep in contact with them is I give them a free ebook when they join my list. And do I have time to be writing free books? Not really. But what I did was I took 14 episodes of my show, which you mentioned is at tomwoods.com, and I do transcripts of all the interviews for people who support the show. They can see the transcripts. And I took 14 of these shows where we discussed a particularly difficult or controversial topic, and I put them into an ebook called 14 Hard Questions for Libertarians Answered. And in that ebook is there, if you look at any of the show notes pages, like for instance, if you went to, I'm just choosing one at random, tomwoods.com/416. And you go there and you scroll down and you'll see there's a big box where it says, hey, you want to win more debates? Then get my free ebook when you sign up for my newsletter. And there's a little sign up thing in the little box. And this has generated an enormous number of people signing up for my email list. And also in that free book, so first of all, the free book gets them onto my list. The free book also contains, at the end of each chapter, links to subscribe to my podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. So the book also, it builds up my list, it builds up subscriptions to my show, and then in appendices to the book, I have links to other things that I do, like the Ron Paul curriculum and some of my other work that I do. That's all in appendices. And I'm giving this away for free. I want as many people as possible to get it because they'll realize, well, wait a minute, if he's doing this show every single day and it's of this quality every single day, I would be crazy not to listen. So you see how everything builds on everything else. Then once I've got them on the podcast, well, I get people interested in the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum. I get them interested in my Liberty Classroom website. I promote public speaking engagements that I'm doing. And that's just one thing, one instrument, and this free ebook. And it promotes the show, which promotes the book, which promotes my other books, which promotes my sites. And getting this all to work has actually been kind of interesting and exciting for me. And my next step is I'm going to prepare a full-scale webinar to promote the Ron Paul curriculum. I'm going to have a webinar that explains all the benefits and features and so on and so forth. So that'll be coming in the relatively near future. There are incredible resources available out there to people who have something to offer to the general public, and I can get it out to them relatively easily. Now, it took years to build up the audience that I have, but it would have been impossible to build up this audience. It wouldn't matter how many years I poured into it if I hadn't had these tremendous tools at my disposal that the internet has made possible.
Well, I can hear the excitement in your voice, and I'm doing the same thing myself, and I'm doing it for some years, and it is exciting what the free market allows you to do to get your message out there and to help people. I mean, it's, you know, business is all about helping people with products and services, and the free market through the internet is allowing us to do it like we've never been able to do it before, and that includes the Ron Paul curriculum to help families that want to educate their children better, and the kids that want to get a better education, they can do that. And it's all a result of non-government solutions in the free market. How would the Ron Paul curriculum have helped you in your own educational journey?
Without a doubt, it would have saved me a tremendous amount of work. I try to do this when I write my own books. I try to save people a lot of effort. For example, I have a book called, it's a dumb title, but nobody could think of anything better by the time we went to press, but it's called 33 Questions About American History You're Not Supposed to Ask. And it's one of my favorites of the books I've written. And it is organized in such a way that you can read each chapter individually, and it's self-contained. It doesn't necessarily have to follow from the previous chapter. And I did it because I thought these are all topics that I either did not know about or I was given the faulty, biased establishment version of when I was in school. And I feel like I will save people a tremendous amount of time by giving them this information about all these topics, plus many pages of footnotes so you can check up on my sources, which I encourage people to do. And that's the kind of book I myself like to read. I like to read a book that's not just fluff and a lot of talk, but a lot of facts and information that I didn't know before. That's what I try to do in my books, and that's what I try to do in these courses, and I think that's what everybody else is doing, the other course preparers are doing in their courses. So I think the Ron Paul curriculum, if I had taken it, had the good fortune to have it available to me, by the time I was 18, I would have had an absolute command of liberty, of the liberty literature. I would have known the other side of the arguments too. I would have been prepared to go out there and do intellectual battle, because not only would I have had a tremendous amount of knowledge, and not just in the humanities and the social sciences, the science courses just blow me away. I mean, the kids are doing robotics. They're building a radio. It's incredible to me what the possibilities are. But I would also have been trained in writing very regularly, in engaging with primary source texts. I would have been trained in communicating my ideas, because I would have started my own blog, which is an option on the Ron Paul curriculum. You post your weekly essays on your own blog, where at least in theory the world can see them, and this will make you want to be a better writer out of sheer embarrassment. You want to be put your best foot forward when you're in front of the world. Also, public speaking is taught in the Ron Paul curriculum. Now, turns out I've become a pretty decent public speaker, but that's because I had background in the theater. I did a lot of acting when I was younger. Not everybody's going to have that background. They need the training in public speaking. So it wouldn't have just been I would have emerged with a lot of knowledge in my head, and I would have been very happy about that, but I would have also had the skills to communicate those ideas, particularly in this internet age. I would have known exactly how to use WordPress and how to establish myself with a website and so on and so forth. And that is a tremendous competitive advantage that I would have had, that I wouldn't have had to acquire slowly and laboriously. And of course, it doesn't mean I would have known everything, but I would have had a very, very solid foundation for future study. And I think I would have been solidly 5 to 10 years ahead of the game intellectually as to where I was when I actually did turn 18. There's no question about that.
Excellent, Tom. What's one piece of educational advice you'd offer parents?
Well, apart from signing up for the Ron Paul curriculum, which is pretty obvious, I would also say that if you're going to the trouble, if you're even listening to this podcast, then you're interested in more than just homeschooling. You're interested in making sure that your student gets exposed to ideas that are more or less withheld from them in other settings. So you are interested in the same ideas that Richard and I are interested in. So I would say you should take the opportunity with this tremendous curriculum available to learn yourself, to study yourself. And this is because it will be enriching for you personally, but also because you will also find that your students' experience is enriched when you are that engaged with the material. Now, you don't have to take every single course, but as I say, my courses have the audio file, so you can listen to them while you're driving around. And I promise you won't be bored. I promise your intelligence will not be insulted. I promise you will learn a lot of new things that will help you understand the free society better, understand how to respond to common arguments better. And when you get there and start talking to your student about what the topic was for today, do you think this is going to aid in or retard comprehension? Well, the question answers itself. And yet you're not going to feel like it's a chore. These are interesting topics, and they're going to spawn a lot of very, very interesting and engaging conversations. So while enjoying yourself, while enriching yourself, you will also be ensuring that this material takes root in the student's mind. Because obviously when you have lengthy conversations about something, you remember that. You're much, much more likely to remember that. So you can be benefiting, and at the same time, you can be making sure that your student not only remembers the material, but remembers it and let's say digests it and assimilates it very, very effectively.
Well, let's turn it around and offer a piece of advice to students that are listening.
All right. I myself, looking back on my own education, I can say that I took pretty good advantage of the resources that I had. I don't look back only with regrets. On the other hand, I remember that when I was studying literature, for example, I didn't want to read any of these books. I wanted every shortcut they possibly had to get out of it. And I look back now and I say, darn, I wish I had read these great works of literature more carefully. I wish I had put in the work in all these different fields, because think of what I would know. Think of what I would have been exposed to. And so in the years that have followed, I've gone back and read books that, you know, I didn't really give that much effort to. And when you get older, I guarantee you, you will say, I wish I knew this. I wish I knew that. I wish I'd studied this more. I wish I had a command of this or that. I guarantee you, you're going to say that to yourself. So instead of saying that to yourself, do it now. Take this opportunity now. You have the opportunity to learn from world-class instructors who have credentials coming out their ears and who are really knowledgeable and really enthusiastic. And you're going to be learning stuff that very few people know. It's a privilege. What you have right now is a privilege. You're going to be learning stuff that almost nobody knows. And you're going to be outraged that people don't know it. And you're going to want to go out there and tell them. So realize there's a tremendous responsibility on your shoulders. We have a world that is totally screwed up because it consistently tries to implement the exact opposite of our ideas. You are potentially the generation that can change that. Because we have this curriculum, we'll have thousands of people coming out of it who are going to know more about the message of liberty than any generation has ever known, basically. Because we've never had it presented so systematically over the course of 12, 13 years. It's never been done before. So it's a tremendous opportunity for you to learn the stuff the first time through so you don't have regrets later. Secondly, you have the chance to go out into the world and really distinguish yourself as a thinker, as a writer, as a speaker, as a blogger, as a web presence, because you, at your young age, are going to have a command of material that people two and three times your age couldn't dream of having. That's a tremendous opportunity. You're also going to learn how to start a home business. You're going to learn a lot of practical things. You are being set up for success, where so many other students are being set up for failure. They're being told, well, go to college and then, you know, major in whatever and just hope somebody hires you someday. We're not putting you in that position because that position is a dead end for so many people. They're going to wind up with unpayable debt and they're going to hope that somebody hires them with their degree in French literature. It's not going to happen. We're going to show you how to get hired. We're going to show you these are the talents you need to, or these are the skills you need to cultivate. You're going to be in a tremendous position when you come through this. Put in the effort and you will be reaping the dividends for the rest of your life. And you're going to say, that Woods on that podcast, boy, he sure was right. I should probably listen to his daily show. He probably has all kinds of wisdom for me. Maybe you'll say that, but you will be happy that you heard me giving you a little bit of a nudge in the right direction.
That's excellent advice, Tom, and people can find you at tomwoods.com. What's one book you'd recommend to our listeners that they buy and read?
I would say, in a way, it depends on where you are in your journey, let's say, intellectually. If you're still getting your feet wet, the introductory book that I recommend consistently, because it's so concise and it has converted so many people to our way of thinking, is The Revolution, A Manifesto by Ron Paul. Because there you'll get stuff on economics, on money, on the Constitution, on civil liberties, on the major topics, on foreign policy too, that we talk about, and persuasively and concisely with further reading recommendations. That is by far the book that I would recommend the most. Now, secondly, for another book, let's say if you're a little bit more, farther along, I hope this won't sound hopelessly, I'm hopelessly full of myself here, but I would actually like to recommend a couple of my own titles simply because I wrote them for exactly this purpose. I wrote them exactly for people who want to know more, want to win more debates. And so I would say, and by the way, one of them I'm going to recommend, I make nothing in royalties on whatsoever. So, I mean, it's purely for the good of society that I'm recommending it. It is not because it benefits me in any way. But my book from 2011 called Rollback pretty much goes through all the arguments I could think of for why government intervention is necessary here, 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 and here. And it just crushes them. And there's a chapter on the military industrial complex. There's a chapter on the Federal Reserve. There's a chapter on all the, what about Sweden? Doesn't that show that big government can solve a lot of problems? It's all in there. The book is called Rollback. I recommend that one. The other one that I think I would recommend would be the one that I mentioned earlier, 33 Questions About American History You're Not Supposed to Ask. You'll enjoy that. I also don't make any royalties from that either because in both cases, the advance was big and I don't think I'm going to cash out of it. So those are just purely for just because I think people will benefit from them. I might add, you mentioned at the beginning of the show a book called Real Dissent that I have. I'm going to add that one just because if you're interested to see an experiment in self-publishing. That was my experiment in self-publishing. I've always published with major publishers, but I thought, what the heck? The trend seems to be towards self-publishing. So that book is called Real Dissent. I have a website, realdissent.com, that tells you about it. And it really, it covers all kinds of liberty topics. The idea of the book is that we never get real dissent in our society. We always get phony dissent. You know, you can dispute the Iraq war on the grounds that, well, you know, maybe this was a bad idea, but generally it's a good thing to launch these types of wars. You can't say, no, they're all a bad idea. You're not allowed to say that. Or you can say, boy, this income tax rate is too high, but you're not allowed to say we shouldn't have an income tax at all. Except if you follow it up with, we should have a national sales tax instead. They'll let you get away with that. But there's no real dissent. And this book is just real dissent all the way through. But the reason I recommend it is because it's also an example of marketing, because there's a whole section in the book of transcripts of some of my favorite episodes from my show. So the book promotes the show. And then on the show, I promote the book. And so there's this synergy that has been very helpful for me in terms of building up my online presence. So you can see that for yourself in that particular book.
And having this book, Real Dissent, right on my desk and holding it, it is completely professional. It's a beautiful book, and I've started reading it, and I'm going to read the whole thing because I'm somebody that wants to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion.
Good man.
I really do. I really do. I've done it for a long time, but I'm always looking to sharpen the sword to be able to help people out, really, because people are either misinformed or they're misguiding other people. We need to straighten them out, but do it with the facts and do it with the right principles. So we're going to have links to all these books on the show notes page. So people that are driving in your cars, just wait. When you get to wherever you're getting to, look at the show notes page and you'll get links to all these books. And I do recommend that you get them and read them. Tom, you've been incredibly productive. Can you share one of your personal habits that you strongly believe contributes to your success?
Boy, that is a good question, because I actually did an episode of my podcast on being a workaholic and saying that this actually was a problem for me for a long time. I could never really rest. My mind was always racing. I have to write another article. I have to write another book. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I would finish something and I would finally have some peace. And then I would say, no, I got to start up these three projects. Like, I couldn't stop myself. It was just over and over and over. So for one thing, it is possible to overdo it. Now, I realize this is a podcast where you've had Gary North, who would disagree with me on this. But look, I have five children I want to raise, and I want them to know me, and I don't want them to see me frazzled all the time because I'm biting off more than I can chew. So one thing is getting a handle on things, is making sure that that you are properly balancing all the areas of your life, and that's the way to become really happy. It's not just happiness through productivity. There are different types of productivity. It's you are being productive in your family life. And I've always been good with the kids. I've always had that time from when I would get home until the time they would go to bed. That's always our time together. But even still, there have been times when my mind would just be elsewhere because I've taken on too much. So to a degree, this has not always been a good thing for me. But in terms of what habits I have that keep me going, well, I think partly it's just that I take inspiration from people who came before me. I look at somebody like Murray Rothbard and I say, well, first of all, he had no children. So he did have a little bit of extra time, but that doesn't entirely account for his extraordinary productivity. But those examples, people like him, showed me that it is possible to produce an awful lot. So I'm not just being unreasonable to think I could do it. It can be done. So first, I'm inspired by that. I'm inspired by the ideas that I am myself promoting. So the fact that I'm doing something that I believe in does propel me. A lot of times I find it difficult to cope with the idea that error is out there. I see some crazy article misrepresenting our views, and I just, you know, it's just my personality. I can't keep myself from responding to it, which is why half the time when people send me these articles, I can't even open it because I know I'll want to respond and I haven't got the time. So there's also that. I mean, I know that there is a to-do list idea, that I have a to-do list that helps me. And then I know the guy who writes the Getting Things Done series says that what you really should do is not just a to-do list, but what is the specific action that needs to come next in this particular project that you need to do? You got to write that down. What's the next, not just that I have to work on this project, what is the next particular thing that needs to get done so that it seems, so you break it up into manageable pieces so that you say, okay, well, today I have to do this particular thing on this project. This particular thing is the next step on this project and so on and so forth. In order to be able to sleep, I have to write them all out. But I used to say, well, today I'm going to finish this project and today I'm going to finish that. But I got from Pat Flynn the idea that instead I should simply say, today I'm going to work on this project for a while. And then I'm going to work on this project for a while. And if I happen to finish it, that would really be great. But if there's no deadline, then instead of forcing myself to try to finish things, if I don't, then at the end of the day, I feel unsuccessful, even though by any objective measure, I've been quite successful and quite productive. So there's that. There really is no secret, though, in terms of how do I do an awful lot of stuff. I mean, I just, by doing it over and over again, I get faster and more efficient. Like, I can write an article pretty quickly now just because I've done it over and over and over again. I don't really have any secret insights.
Well, Tom, the next step in this interview is to bring it in for a close. So I'd just like to ask you to just leave our listeners with any final comments you have about your Government 1B course of the Ron Paul curriculum.
I feel like this is one of the most important things I've ever done right here. And it was hard work, I'll tell you. Even though this is material that I do know and have studied, I did research some new things to make it as full and rewarding as I possibly could. I don't know how many people are going to wind up using this, being exposed to interesting ideas and interesting thinkers and challenging readings. And again, challenging not in the sense that they're difficult, but in the sense that they make you think about the world in a different way is very exciting to me. And it covers, as I say, so many topics and so many different areas. Just for example, I've got, as a matter of fact, I've got the list right in front of me here. I devote a whole lesson on exactly why socialism in the Marxist formulation couldn't possibly work. Even if you had the saintliest people in the world, it could not possibly work. And they learn that. That's just one of the 90 lessons. Or they learn, I've got two lessons on the welfare state, which is one of the most common objections. Well, what would you do about poor people? And I explain about the difficulties of the welfare state and that this is not a good solution. But what I'm really helping them to do is to look at a headline in current events and take this knowledge that they've gained and take apart that headline, take apart that article, take apart that current event and understand what's really going on. When some politician is promising that such and such is going to make your life better, you will immediately be able to see through it. You'll know exactly what the fallacies are. Or when you're reading about the Federal Reserve today announced that it was going to do such and such, that's not just going to flow right over your head. You have no idea what they're talking about. You're going to know what they're talking about, and you're going to know what's wrong with it. And you're going to be able to convey these warnings. You're going to be able to convey these arguments successfully and effectively to your fellow citizens. For years, I've thought it would be great if everybody could be exposed to the types of ideas that you and I talk about, and I just don't know where to start. But then the internet came along, and I realized instead of just cursing the darkness, oh, well, I guess everything just stinks. The educational establishment is in the hands of people who despise what I stand for, but I guess there's nothing I can do about that. There is something I can do about it. And as a matter of fact, I did it, and so far, based on the testimonials, it is really, really helping both parents and students. So I personally feel like at the end of my life, no matter what I do between now and then, I will still be saying that this was the most important, one of the handful of most important things I ever did.
Tom, this has been a great interview. I know our listeners have learned a lot about you, about your educational philosophy, and about the Government 1B course of the Ron Paul curriculum. I do appreciate your time. We're going to have you back. We're going to talk about Western civilization down the road. We're going to learn more about that. But right now, I'd really encourage people to go to the show notes page, learn a little bit more about Tom, get links to his books and his website, and just educate yourself, become a better thinker, be able to argue better, and be able to impact politics at the local level even. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, everybody. Remember, you can get that government course that I was talking about here in three ways. You can get it without joining the Ron Paul curriculum by going to tomwoodshomeschool.com. You can get it as part of the Ron Paul curriculum when you join it at ronpaulhomeschool.com, which is my site where I give you $140 worth of free bonuses if you join through that site. And you can get it as a gold or platinum supporter of the show at supportinglisteners.com. Remember, too, you can make money while doing pretty much nothing other than existing and shopping. When you join Ebates, which I've been doing, tomwoods.com/Ebates will get you free rebates, cash back from 1,800 online vendors, that a lot of which I use anyway, and they'll send you cash back for pretty much doing nothing other than what you would already be doing. And get a free $10 gift card thrown in. Join through tomwoods.com/Ebates. All right, and by the way, last week I had somebody write to me and say, thank goodness you told me about Ebates. I was just about to buy some shoes, so I went and joined Ebates. Then I bought the shoes, and I wound up getting $12 back, so thanks a lot. Hey, look, I'm just here to help people. You know, what else am I here for? All right, hope you enjoyed this week's worth of programs. We got some juicy ones. I'm telling you, some juicy ones coming up next week. So make sure and subscribe, and we'll see you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.